Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, November the 18th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, and I thank you very much for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, which is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and The Voice Network partners in Douglas, where Cochise County residents listen to the Buckmaster Show on 930 AM KAPR, and in Gila County in Globe, where Eastern Arizonans listen to us on KJAA AM 1240. The program is streamed live on the BuckmasterShow.com website, along with the KVOI.com website. And if you've missed a particular program, all programs are archived at BuckmasterShow.com. And we continue to grow the opportunities to hear this program anywhere at any time. You can hear the show 24/7 at BuckmasterShow.com. Also on Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. And thanks to our newest partnership, Buckmaster is always on TucsonCitizen.com. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, we get things going with our Friday Focus interview featuring a Southern Arizona newsmaker. Today we welcome Gary Hayes, head of the Regional Transportation Authority, known as the RTA. Mr. Hayes also is the executive director of the Pima Association of Governments. Joining me to question Mr. Hayes is Jimmy Vogel, the editor of the Tucson Weekly. Our congratulations to the Weekly, recently named by the Arizona Newspaper Association Best Non-Daily Newspaper in Arizona.
Why, thank you.
We invite you to join in the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can submit questions at buckmastershow.com or on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Want to remind you that Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Jimmy Bogle, welcome to you, and Gary Hayes, good to see you, Gary.
Good to be back, Bill.
City of Tucson and the RTA jointly manage the Modern Streetcar Project. Now, the City Council is not going along with the RTA proposal to simply extend the contract for the SunTran management team until 2014 without a competitive bid. What's the story from the RTA's point of view?
Well, our concern, as you know, is that we're the primary investor in the Modern Streetcar. We've had a very good relationship with the management team that's been participating in getting the streetcar done as quickly as possible and on budget. We felt that since the management team is doing very well, that this is not the time to get a new team in here. Now, originally, my understanding, the city wanted to go out to bid on both all three, SunTran, SunVan, and the streetcar. The decision they made Tuesday evening was simply on SunTran and SunVan, because basically we said, you know, as the primary investor, as a co-manager, we think the streetcar needs to be given separate attention. So that's kind of where we are right now.
But does the city, are they obligated for a competitive bid on this?
Our interpretation of the city procurement code is that they are not. Obviously, they have a different interpretation. We've gone through it. Our attorney's gone through it. Under special circumstances, they can extend existing contracts, which, again, as we understand it, they've done a number of times. However, you know, that's a decision they're going to make. By separating out the streetcar from SunTran and SunVan, we'll see how it plays out, but they've addressed our concern anyway.
Will this delay the Modern Streetcar?
In our opinion, it will. In their opinion, it won't. So it remains to be seen. We had conversations with transit professionals all over the country that we have relationships with, and they all express the same concern, that the potential for delaying it is there when you change the key people that are working on the project. So we'll see how it plays out.
To take a step back, just as a point of background, how did the contracts with SunTran and SunVan and the Modern Streetcar get combined? Why is the same company managing both projects?
Well, I think the city procurement office wanted to go out to bid with all three parts, because they felt, actually, as we feel, that who's ever running the basic SunTran-SunVan system is going to be running or should be running the Modern Streetcar. Transit should be enveloped under one umbrella, because they're all designed to be connected as pieces of the puzzle. But it really was a city initiative to go out on the bid. And then we raised some concerns about it.
obviously, you know, this is going to sound simple, but obviously competitive bidding when it comes to government contracts is a good thing.
Right.
Because we want to make sure the taxpayers are best served. Correct. So explain your concerns on what's the worst that could happen if this were to go out to competitive
bid. Simplistically, our concern is delay. And again, if you delay this project by another 6 to 12 months, and in all fairness, this was originally supposed to come on schedule in 11-11-11. We've already missed that date. Right now, we're going to miss that by at least 2 years, possibly 2.5, with some slippage in the contracts and what's going on. And then you add a change in the management team, the potential is there for another delay of 6 to 12 months. Anytime you have a delay, you're going to have a situation where it's going to cost more money. One comment. All of our projects, the roadway projects, everything else, the bus pullouts, all are competitively bid. So we support that initiative. But we felt that this is a special circumstance that, in our interpretation, that's allowed under the city procurement code to be able to go ahead and at least extend it to an operational point of the streetcar.
We're with Gary Hayes, who heads up the RTA and the Pima Association of Governments. At this point, give us an update. We haven't had you on the show in a few months. Where are we with the whole RTA program, which I believe it was in May, reached the 5-year milestone. It's a 20-year program. You're in now, if you look at it like a football game, the first quarter has been completed. We're now early in the second quarter.
Well, that's interesting. The first 5 years, you know, particularly in roadways, major arterials, our objective and what we promised the voters that we'd begin construction on the first 11 roadway projects. I can tell you we've either completed or have begun construction on all 11 projects, and they're underway. The second 5 years was originally designed to be heavily into construction, and you're going to see that. We have bids and working with the city and the county and other jurisdictions on the street right now that have heavy construction beginning end of 2012. Beginning end of 2011 and beginning of 2012. So that's in play. The Grant Road intersections, Grant Road widening, Tangerine Road, Houghton Road, the bids just came in about $5 million under what the engineer estimate was. Valencia is under construction right now. So we have construction all over the region that's only going to pick up steam.
Let's talk money a little bit. You mentioned the fact that bids are coming in a little bit low on the Houghton Road issue. Obviously, sales tax revenue has been coming in a little bit low as well because some people might have heard that the economy is kind of stinky right now. How is that all balancing out? Is the RTA with the sales tax revenues coming in and the lower bids coming in as well? Is it all balancing out? Is everything looking like it's going to be fully funded?
Yeah, actually, we're coming out a little ahead of the game because our sales tax revenues over the last 6 to 8 months have gone up compared to where they were last year. So that's a positive. And I think that's happening statewide as well. The bids right now are still coming in below what the engineer's estimates are. We don't know if that's going to continue, but right now we're ahead of the game. The other third component of that is we went to the bond market in June for another $150 million. We're going to put that in the street, on the street very soon. We expect to have $200 million in the next 2 years under construction in the community.
So wow.
That's a lot of investment.
How much of that money actually is going to go back into the community in terms of an economic impact?
Well, the bulk of it is. You've got multiplier effects. We've had some studies done by U of A. If you extrapolate what they did 3 or 4 years ago, we feel we've created 1,800 net jobs to date, and that's only going to increase when you get into heavy construction during the next 5 years.
12:12 on the Buckmaster Show. I think we are going to ask Mr. Hayes to slip his headset on because we are going to be going to the Buckmaster Show live line. I believe someone has a question about Aviation Parkway. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question is, I've heard different times that would get started and be completed, but that connection to the freeway I think will be really important for travel to the east side. Do you have any projections on when that connection would be completed to the freeway?
Well, that's a great question. Really, there are three parts to Aviation Parkway. If you take the northwest section that's supposed to go from Broadway over to St. Mary's and connect to I-10, that bid has already is already under construction on what's called the downtown link. So that is already underway. The southeastern portion that you're talking about, we're working with ADOT and actually Pima County and looking at alignments for that section. We have a commitment of 19 plus million for right-of-way acquisition, some original planning, design, and engineering work on that component. Obviously, one of the tricky parts is going to be the interchange with I-10, but that will happen, and that will be under construction during the next 3 to 5 years.
Let's try to go to Paul here on the Buckmaster Show live line before we take a break with Gary Hayes. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you. Yes, my brother and I have been thinking of investing in a business down on 4th. And we're very concerned. We can remember back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s when the streetcars in several cities that we lived in, mainly San Diego, the streetcars, because of people exiting and of course, streetcars passing on the other side, created a massive car block. You couldn't pass. Automobiles could not pass the streetcars, and this created a massive traffic jam behind each streetcar. And I'm afraid Forth is going to end up being the same way. What are you going to do to alleviate that problem?
The designer team that's working on the streetcar is sensitive to those right-of-way issues in terms of passing vehicles. The only anticipated problem that they are looking at and trying to work with is what's going to happen those 6 days where you have the 4th Avenue street fair. Other than that, the issue of having vehicular traffic in the streetcar running basically along the same roadway is being addressed in where the rails are going, where the stops are, and we're sensitive and working with the design team on what those types of concerns are.
12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be taking a break right here, and we'll be back with Gary Hayes and Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly. 790-2040, if you have a question for Mr. Hayes, we'll try to get it in the next 10 minutes or so.
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Ferro More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Ferro More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at ferromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido and Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Nineteen on the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday Focus. Gary Hayes of RTA and Pima Association of Governments is our Friday newsmaker interview. Jimmy Bogle, editor of the Tucson Weekly, is with me in studio in the questioning of Mr. Hayes. And Jimmy, it's all yours.
Yeah, I just want to talk to you about buses. You know, obviously the buses component has been one of the other more controversial components of the RTA, and it's kind of co-managed by the RTA and the city. And a while back, the RTA made a play to kind of take over the bus system from the city. My question is, why in the world would you want a money loser like the SunTran bus system?
Well, we don't think it's necessarily a money loser if it's run on a regional basis. And a couple things. One is the enabling legislation that created the RTA basically gave us the charge of addressing regional transit, both on the operational side and the governance side. So we tried to, you know, comply with whatever's in the legislation and what we do, how we do. Also, I would point out that, you know, we have over $500 million in the plan invested in transit, and we'd like to have some direct role in how that plays out. We talked about the streetcar co-managing that. We provide upwards of $8 million every year for the annual operation of SunTran and SunVan. We just felt that if you're going to address transit, you need to do it on a regional basis. Look at our partner sisters in Denver, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, San Diego, San Antonio. I go through the whole list. They're all run by regional entities, districts, commissions, boards, what have you. And interestingly enough, none of them use general fund monies to operate their transit system. Here in Tucson, I think the budget right now, general fund money is $39.5 million for public transit. There are other ways to do that, and we felt that we would have that discussion. Right now, that's not an initiative that's on our plate, that either on the city or on the RTA plate. We had a conversation. It was somewhat controversial last year, but, you know, our job is to put those ideas out there and see if it has any take.
I know you said it's not on the plate right now, but if, hypothetically, it were to be on the plate again one day, how do you think the bus system would be run differently or better if it were an RTA thing as opposed to the joint thing like it is
right
now?
Well, you can broaden the financial base. We obviously have some financial resources to attract federal money and state money because we can provide the local match with the city doesn't have. That's one option. Economies of scale, just doing things on a broader scale in terms of how you run the system. We would like to see some greater attention to different modes, bus rapid transit, more light rail, heavy rail, whatever the components are that all these other sister cities have. And I would point out Salt Lake City as the model. Ridership in Salt Lake City is 75% discretionary, which means that ridership leaves a car or a truck at home. You can imagine what that does to the environment, how it improves it. Here we're the reverse. We're about 75% dependent rider. Mm-hmm. And in my experience in talking to these other sister agencies, when you attract the discretionary rider, it improves the riding experience for the dependent rider. So it's a win-win. And we've done that research. We're trying to convey that, and we haven't had a lot of luck doing that.
Speaking of rides, an advisory group to the RTA has come up with a couple of dozen ways that would make the dial-a-ride services more efficient and more consistent across the region. Right now, there are 4 dial-a-ride services and, I guess, 6 phone numbers to dial to get the ride.
Well, that's a perfect example on why these kinds of issues need to be addressed on a regional basis. You've had systems in some of our smaller communities like Oro Valley, and we're having a great conversation with Oro Valley to how we can help them deal with that. We've taken over handicap systems in the county, typically known as the handicar system. Like I said earlier, we've provided funding for SunVan in the past. But you're right. There's economy of scale, regional efficiency, one phone number, all of that is definitely the way to go and definitely the way our sister agencies go.
About a minute left with Gary Hayes. Just to summarize now, you talked about the first 5 years of the program. So the next 5 will be very construction intensive, perhaps more so than the first 5.
Yeah, absolutely. The first 5, at least the first couple of years, you had to focus on planning and design and engineering work and making sure everybody knew what we're doing going forward. The second 5 and really the third and the fourth 5 are heavy into construction.
Final yes or no question for Gary Hayes from Jimmy Bogle.
those of us who do drive and don't take the bus, what should we know? What big construction projects are coming up so we can take alternate routes if possible?
Well, that's a good coming point.
Soon.
That's a good point.
It is a good point.
Are trying to make sure we don't have parallel activities going on. A perfect example, Speedway, Camino Seco to Houghton. You're not seeing a lot of work on Broadway, which you will see when Speedway is done. That's a perfect example. Going east-west and north-south, we're trying to be attentive to that. Work on La Cañada. You know, we don't want a lot of work on La Cholla in the same area, that kind of a thing. One of the things I think that will benefit your travel is bus pullouts. We've got 58 completed, another 200 to go.
Awesome.
Gary Hayes, thank you very much. Gary Hayes from the RTA, thank you for being our Friday Focus interview.
Thanks for having me.
Still to come on the Buckmaster Show on this Friday edition, we'll have the Reporters Roundtable coming up, and we'll be going out to Wild Birds Unlimited in Oro Valley. That's still to come. We'll be going out now to Wild Bird. We'll be talking with Eric Dalrymple, one of the co-owners.
But live
of,
is live. I mean, live is really, really.
Terry Love is with us. Go ahead, Terry.
Hello there, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. You're out at Wild Birds Unlimited.
We are, Bill. We're going to be out here till 1 o'clock. We have a raptor show. We have all kinds of birds, owls and hawks. And I'm going to put Eric, the owner, on to tell you a little bit about the star, okay?
Okay.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Eric, what's going on out there? Raptors, radio, and rewards.
Yeah, actually, we got a great raptor show going on from Northwest Rehabilitators. We have a great horned owl, an alf owl, and a Harris hawk. And three volunteers are bringing them out. We had a great crowd here. And we're over on off of Oracle, 7645, right down by Sprouse. So, and we have a rewards program going on for our daily savings club members. So they get double points, and they save 20% off their purchases today.
Eric, let me ask you a couple of quick questions about birding. What is your advice for someone who really wants to create a bird feeding habitat?
Well, we have a lot of options for that, Bill. It really kind of depends on what they're looking to attract to their yard. We can be very specific on different kinds of feeders, attracting different kinds of birds. Our seeds are formulated to the desert birds, so we don't put filler or any kind of seed that the birds don't eat in our seed.
So not all bird seeds are created equal?
They're not. A lot of the bird seeds you get will have filler in them, and by filler I mean like whole wheat, Milo, different kinds of millet that typically birds will kick out of the feeders. Now, your quail and your dove will eat those, so we're fortunate that we have the quail, so they're kind of a cleanup bird. So, yeah, our seeds do not contain any fillers, so what you put in your feeder, the birds will eat.
We're big bird feeders at the Buckmaster Hacienda, and Eric, I know it's important when you have the water out for the birds. Make sure that water is changed every day because there's all sorts of, I think, birdie diseases, right, that can be picked up from stagnant water.
There can be. You should change your water daily. And you can also use a 10% bleach solution as long as you wash out your bird bath, rinse it out. After you do that, it'll be fine for the birds. We also have something called EcoClean. It's the new thing in bird feeding where the products are actually treated with a chemical thing called Azion, which is a silver-based product. It's all natural. Prevents any kind of bacteria, mold, or mildew from forming on the feeders.
Eric Dalrymple is with us. He is the co-owner of Wild Birds Unlimited in Oro Valley. And, Eric, winter is the prime time for winter visitors, and that includes our feathered friends who are looking for a warm environment. Are we starting to see now the winter birds arrive?
Well, as far as the winter birds, we pretty much get the same birds here year-round. Spring is when we get the different, like the orioles and things like that. So our winter birds, we do get like the white-crowned sparrows. You'll see them in your yard. They've started to arrive about a month ago. And the cardinals are starting to come back to feeders. Typically after they've fledged, they're young. You won't see them for a little while, but they're here all the time.
Quick question about hummingbirds. How do we attract hummingbirds?
Hummingbird feeder. using nectar, straight nectar, clear, no red dyes, simple solution of 4 to 1, 1 cup of water to 1/4 cup of sugar, and also plants in your yard that attract nectar-producing plants.
Okay, and the raptors will be out there this afternoon as well?
They are. They're already here. They'll be here till about 1:30.
Okay, Wild Birds Unlimited. Thank you very much, Eric.
Alrighty, thank you.
Eric Dalrymple at Wild Birds Unlimited, located on North Oracle Road and McGee in the Sprouts Shopping Center. Stop by and say hello. Buckmaster Show continues. News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The House has rejected a proposed constitutional amendment that would have forced Congress to balance its budget every year as a way to reverse years of deficit spending. A private sector gauge of future economic activity is pointing higher. The Conference Board reports that its index of leading economic indicators rose 0.9% last month. When we have something more to report, we will report. That's what the lead Republican on Congress's Deficit Reduction Supercommittee is saying about efforts to come up with at least $1.2 trillion in savings over the next 10 years. On Wall Street, stocks are mixed. The Dow is up about 51 points, 11,823. The NASDAQ is down 8 points. The S&P trading 3 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners. The backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My Foot Doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1234. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice and The Voice Network. Our simulcast stations in Globe and Douglas giving us great reach. Figure we're in about 8 of Arizona's 15 counties. Every Friday at about 12:30, we present the Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring our team of local journalists who sound off on the week's top stories. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable today, Sarah Garrett-Gasson. She's editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star, and Jimmy Bogle, the editor of the Tucson Weekly, stays over from our interview with Gary Hayes. And we welcome you to join in the conversation. As always, on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, the Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. We've also already said hello to Jimmy, so we'll say hello to Sarah Garrett-Gass. And Sarah, how's your week going?
It's going well. Thank you.
It's kind of a big week. Jimmy, we'll begin with you. The situation with the Arizona Supreme Court late last night ruling that Governor John Brewer did indeed act illegally in firing Colleen Mathis from the Independent Redistricting Commission.
Yeah, and it's going to get very interesting from here because she, as of now, is back on the job as the chairman of the commission. And it's really interesting it's going to be interesting to find out what happens next. And I just, on my phone right now, got a statement from Speaker of the House Tobin, who did not say nice things about the ruling, of course. And so, you know, what's next? I mean, Jan Brewer could turn around and do the same thing and fire her again and just try to come up with a better reason for doing so. The thing that really bugs me about this is even if Colleen Mathis did stuff that was that merited her getting fired, the whole process has been really just deplorably partisan. I mean, they couldn't even wait for Jan Brewer to get back into Arizona from her book tour to call the special session in. I mean, that had to be Ken Bennett that did it. And not allowing her to, or, you know, giving her time to come in and address these charges. The whole process has just been terrible. Even if there's something there, the process has been – I don't know how anyone can look at this process and say it's been fair and just in any way, shape, or form.
It just is kind of unbelievable that you can be, in this day and age, fired in such a public way by the governor for really no apparent – I mean, the governor doesn't have to prove her case. She basically says, you are guilty – and out you go. And fortunately, the Arizona Supreme Court said, no, that's not how it should work, and that the governor didn't demonstrate that Colleen Mathis had not committed gross misconduct or substantial neglect of duty. And part of what the governor was criticizing Mathis about was the process for the draft legislative maps. She said that the Mathis had not paid sufficient attention to the requirement of the communities of interest being taken into account. But these are just draft maps, and this is one of the things that the court mentioned in the hearing, is that these are drafts. These are not finalized. They're not going to the Justice Department yet. The public is still commenting on them.
And the other thing I thought Jim Nintzel in The Skinny this week did a very good job of pointing this fact out is that it's not up to the governor or the legislature to decide whether or not these maps are constitutional. That's something that the courts decide. And so they can get all upset, and even if they were unconstitutional, they don't make that call. That's something that the courts have to make. This whole IRC was set up to keep politics out of it. And you can't say that's happened this year in any way, shape, or form.
So the governor has to act very quickly here. The ball is now in her court.
Yeah,
or she doesn't have to act, I
well,
guess.
Well, if she chooses to, I guess she could write another letter and be more explicit about what she thinks.
But she could fire Colleen Mathis again.
The ruling is short and to the point, but it does not explain if the justices were thinking that what the allegations were did not rise to the level of gross misconduct. Or if she just needs to write a better letter and do it all again.
Mm-hmm. What's also interesting is that the Republicans are now talking about changing this whole process. They want to get rid of the IRC, and there's actually some talk in the legislature right now of getting it on the next ballot to get rid of the IRC and hand over redistricting back to the legislature. And here's the really appalling thing. The ballot they're talking about putting it on is the presidential preference ballot. Now, this year for the presidential primary, it's only really going to be Republicans who have a reason to show up and vote, because Barack Obama is not going to be facing serious opposition, whereas the Republican field is going to be wide open. They're actually talking about adding to that ballot a decision to go to the voters to decide on the future of the IRC.
Could they do that?
Good question, but there is a lot of talk going on. I've seen in a lot of legislators' Facebook pages and everything like that, they're actually talking about doing this.
It's just so incredible how much disdain the lawmakers have for the people of Arizona who selected this process in a fair vote. They said, this is what we want. We want you to stay out of it. And they're just being incredibly disrespectful to the wishes of the voters and trying any way they can to get what they want.
It's 12:40 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's move on now to the big week for Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. The editorial on Wednesday in the Arizona Daily Star. It's good to see Giffords making recovery strides. And, of course, Gabrielle Giffords was on the ABC national television interview. I'm sure just about everyone in Tucson was watching that. And then she released a one-minute statement to the constituents. And, Sarah, where do you come down on all of this?
Well, it was fantastic to see Gabby Giffords doing so well just 10 months after that horrible tragedy.
I thought she sounded pretty good, too, in that one-minute audio clip.
She did. She did. And if you know Gabby, and who in Tucson doesn't in some capacity, you can hear her voice, her sparkle, the emotion. And it was palpable, I thought. The thing, and I mentioned this in the editorial, is that as Southern Arizonans and as constituents, it's really sort of difficult to have to turn on a national news program with Diane Sawyer to see Gabby Giffords and to see how far she's come. And the same with the People magazine. It's not that we don't want to share her with the nation. I mean, it is a national story. It totally is. But it also sort of just is a little discomforting in a way
that the national media would have the first crack at this.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, I'm a journalist. I have a journalist ego. But so part of it is it that, the journalist side of me that's sort of rubbing me the wrong way, or is it just as a constituent, you know, we want her back in Tucson. We want her to be here and to be with us. And most of all, I think the most important thing is that she do what she needs to do to advance as far as she can. I think that no matter what.
And the timing also bugged me a little bit, the fact that it was timed to a book release.
Yes.
You know, why now? And the answer is, you know, well, the memoir, mostly by Mark Kelly with a ghostwriter with, you know, some contribution from Gabrielle Giffords, was being released this week. Now, it's possible that they could have, you know, timed the release of the book to the point where they thought that Gabrielle Giffords would be able to do something like this. But just the fact that the first real extended glimpse the public got of Gabrielle Giffords coincided with the release of this book, it left kind of a weird feeling in my stomach. And you know, we all want her to get better. We all want her to get back on the job as much as possible. But that just was kind of tacky.
I do have to say that people have criticized her husband, Mark Kelly, for kind of being everywhere. He's omnipresent. I mean, but that is how the American media rollout works. But, and also people have said that, you know, why is he everywhere? He's trying to get praise for doing what what a husband should do and stand by their wife. And I have to say, there are so many people who do not stand by their loved one when something like this happens. I don't think that's a fair criticism at all, because as Gloria Giffords, Gabby's mom, said in an interview with Stephanie Innes in The Star, that he is a commander, and she said, I can understand why they put him in charge of those space shuttle missions, because he gets things done. So part of it is, if it was about someone else that we didn't know, that we didn't feel connected to, we might have a different point of view on this whole just sort of media blitz. And the other thing is, sorry to go on, but she's getting to the point where she's out, she's doing things. It's so much better to tell your story in your own words, on your own terms, than it is to have someone camping out by the post office box trying to get a picture of her.
And Jimmy, one of the things we have learned over the past week, it now appears that a decision will not be imminent concerning Gabrielle Giffords and her political future. It looks like it will be right up to that May deadline.
Yeah, and I think that makes perfect sense. You know, there's been so much speculation about, will she run again, won't she run again? If she doesn't run again, will she throw her support behind someone, maybe even her husband, to run, which, you know, I think is a lot of wishful thinking. I really get from the people I talk to, there's a lot of speculation. People think there might be leaning one way or another. The fact of the matter is, we just don't know, and I don't think they know. And think about it. This interview was supposedly taped sometime in October. So what we were actually seeing was Gabrielle Giffords about 9.5 months after horrible, horrible things. And a good chunk of that time, she was just healing. She wasn't even in the full-on rehab process. If you take from mid-October till the end of May, when that decision has to be made, there's another 7.5 months that she could make great strides, or she might not. So it makes total sense that no one, you know, I think that anyone who claims to know the decision, you know, it's possible, but I think that they really don't. It's just all speculation at this point.
I also want to point out that many people have said, I mean, that the important thing is she's alive,
right,
and that her comprehension is there, her speech and her writing have been affected by the damage to her brain, but that she's not, I know some people equate, you know, they see the short halting sentences and go, oh, well, obviously, you know, she's incapacitated, which is not the case. So I think it's also important to remember that just because she will be different than she has been in the past, I don't think that would mean, even if she didn't regain her full ability to speak as quickly and as fluently as she had, that would mean that she would be an ineffective member of Congress. I really don't see having a disability as barring someone from being a very good congressperson.
We are looking forward on the Buckmaster Show on Wednesday, sitting down with Ron Barber for a half hour. That'll be beginning at 12:04 on the Buckmaster Show. Of course, Mr. Barber is the district director for the congresswoman here in Tucson, and of course, he is one of the survivors of the January 8th shooting. So we'll hear from Ron Barber. That'll be on Wednesday. A media-related story, Channel 11 cutting its staff. KOLD will be taking over the news over there at Channel 11. Jimmy, this gets kind of personal for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know the Fox 11 folks fairly well because we do a segment each week, their Searchlight segment, where on Wednesday we tape and talk about what's, you know, stuff you can go about and read in the Tucson Weekly that you can go and do over the weekend. And, you know, I talked to a couple of them on Thursday, and they're shell-shocked. I mean, they just found out that this newscast that they've been building up started from completely nothing. I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even been longer now. Well, that's going to be ending, and everything's going to be handed over to KOLD, and that's a sad thing. I actually wrote my editor's note about it this week. You know, obviously, let's face it, we're in the media, but the media is out to make a profit. We're owned by, for the most part, by for-profit companies. I don't mind the fact that people feel they need to do consolidations and things like that. The thing that really ticks me off is when they put out statements saying that we're doing this to better serve the viewers of Tucson. That I can't say the word that describes on the air, but
yes.
You know, and we saw it with Clear Channel. They recently on the mountain cut a bunch, cut their morning staff and laid off the program director, who was also you know, one of the morning hosts. And they said that they're doing this essentially because it'll allow better talent. What they're basically doing is they're having in some city they're having a DJ who's, you know, obviously pretty good, do voice-tracked shows all throughout the country. And they're saying that this is better serving the listeners because they're better talent and they'll have marketing folks here that can do local things. And that's just, you know, when you have fewer local DJs in the community, when you have fewer journalists, be it TV or written or whatever, in the community, that's not going to be serving the community better.
I would agree with that, and I think Sarah's going to agree.
You read the look on my face completely right. Yeah, and we've said this before about with the Tucson Citizen and changes there. Every time a community loses a journalistic outlet, whether it's radio, TV, newspaper, online, the community at large suffers. And it's not only because people lose their jobs, obviously, that is a big concern for the folks directly involved. But every time things get consolidated and things get more one voice, one point of view, and you lose that diversity and that way that people find out things, the whole community suffers. It's not a victory for any other media outlet when another one goes away for whatever reason. And ultimately, it just makes us a poorer community.
We are a better community for more voices in the media, aren't we, Jimmy Bogle?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the Tucson Weekly was founded in 1984 as an alternate voice to the Citizen and the Star. And if you think about that, at the time, there were two vibrant daily newspapers. Now there's one daily newspaper, and the Star is, like every other media organization, has not been immune to cuts. And it's, you know, anyone who cheers a journalist getting laid off is an idiot, because we need people out there promoting local events, digging up things in investigative reporting, and we don't have as many of those as we had in Tucson anymore, and the city's going to suffer as a result.
And just knowing about local events makes you a literate person. It makes you a literate citizen, and we need more of that.
Amen, Sarah. Sister.
Amen. Yes. Preaching to the choir here.
Yes.
Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Star and Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly, thank you very much, both of you, and I want to wish you both and everyone a happy Thanksgiving. And, Sarah, I hope that turkey you're preparing will be delicious.
Well, thank you. I hope so, too, for the sake of my guests.
You doing pumpkin pie, or that's going to be farmed out?
My friend is bringing pumpkin pie.
Okay.
Now
right.
I'm hungry.
Yeah,
it.
There
yeah.
We go. 12:51 on the Buckmaster Show. The Weekend Watch is next with the culinary cruiser, Matt Russell. Stay with us.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR and vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
We are twisting and shouting out by the pool as Matt Russell joins us, the man we have dubbed the Culinary Cruiser. And Matt, I know that you have not been eating as much this week in preparation for what will probably be an absolute orgy of food that is planned for Thanksgiving Day. I can imagine the Russell House. Boy, you guys start cooking on Monday.
You know, only on the Buckmaster Show do the words orgy and food happen in the same sentence. My goodness, we're making history here. Well, you know, we're not twisting and shouting by the pool today. In fact, I'm twisting and shouting at the Kingfisher Bar and Grill on Grant Road. I'm here with my good friend John Fina. We just finished a beautiful lunch. Jerk Shrimp Club sandwich, absolutely delicious. Kingfisher does all the right things the right way.
What about dessert?
I passed on dessert, Bill, because, you know, I've got pumpkin and pecan pies that are staring me down next Thursday that I've got to save some room for.
Hey, Matt Russell, is all olive oil created equal?
Well, you know, that's what people might think. But, you know, a lot on this show we talk about great wine tastings in the community, great beer tastings in the community. Well, our good friends at a new place called Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, which is up at St. Philip's Plaza, River and Campbell, are going to be doing an olive oil tasting this weekend featuring oils from south of the equator. You've got Argentinian oils, Australian oils, and they're doing oils by the shot. Now, I tell my friend Tom Alfonso, I love olive oil so much, I resist the shot. I just have them start an IV. That's how we do things in the world of the Culinary Cruiser.
An olive oil shot. Okay.
Yeah, haven't lived
all right
until you've tried one.
What's going on downtown this weekend?
Yeah, you know, with all the local talk, Bill, of the importance of using locally sourced ingredients and the rising popularity of these farm-to-table menus, an event is going to be scheduled for Sunday afternoon downtown at 3 o'clock at the Screening Room, and they're going to be showing the famous farming documentary, The Greenhorns. And after that movie, it's on to Borderlands Brewing Company to enjoy freshly brewed coffee, some freshly brewed beer, and they're going to be serving some food made with ingredients from local farms. What a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon, Sunday at 3 o'clock, starting at the Screening Room downtown.
Hacienda del Sol, one of your favorite areas for dining. I think they just had a big award from the AAA folks.
They never stop winning awards at the Hacienda del Sol. And this Sunday at 4 p.m., the 7th Annual Argentina Heart and Soul event. Now get this. Exclusive wine tastings from Argentinian wineries, over 40 varietals all told, Argentinian cuisine, and the local flamenco band Tesoro is going to be performing all at Hacienda del Sol on Sunday afternoon. Now, there's only a few tickets left. Your listeners are going to want to gobble them up while they can. Go to HaciendaDelSol.com to make your reservations and have a wonderful time on Sunday afternoon.
And I know of someone at Hacienda de Buckmaster who loves the Argentine Malbecs very much. She loves them very much. Matt Russell, thank you very much. I hope it's going to be a wonderful Thanksgiving for you. And again, as you say, every Friday, we always have to say that for all of your friends listening in your home office at Russell Public Communications up in the foothills. You told them at about 10 o'clock, I'm going to lunch, going to do the Buckmaster show, and then I'll be back at the office. Well, it sounds like you'll be doing some more visiting there at Kingfisher.
That's what we do here at Kingfisher. We visit a lot.
All right, Matt Russell, have yourself a wonderful Thanksgiving and a great weekend.
You do as well to the Buckmaster family. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Matt Russell. The Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at splendidoaz.net. Also, the Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates, certified public accountants. Mike Flowers and the gang, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, on behalf of Team Buckmaster. After all, a team can be two people. Our producer, Rosemary Brandt. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe weekend. We will see you back here live Monday, noon to 1 on KVOI, AM 1030, The Voice. Have a great weekend.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.